November 29th, 2017, it's a Walk from Pedro show. Thank you. Walk from Pedro show, Brother Matt, the last minute, got predisposed, good people, because of his therapy and his rehabilitation of that hip surgery, but he's doing good. He said, I'm not going to call it that other name. I'm going to say the Gaffney Street Pool. He's there doing the swim to get Genki again. Started off with John Coltrane doing a set from Sonship, great album. And then, from my guest, via the magic of those Estonian software engineers, bringing us Skype, we got Mr. Willie Tarzian. Are you on that barge?
Not now. No, I'm at a friend's house.
Okay.
Yeah, the reception on that is crap. So.
Okay, because he usually lives on a barge in a canal in London, but he's at a buddy's parent. Willie, welcome aboard Watt from Pedro show.
Well, it's an honor, man, and this is my favorite show ever. Just about, I listen every week for the last since 19 whatever.
Well, last year I got to play with Y-Bot, and we're going to talk about that later on. But first, let's go way back in the musical journey of Willie Tarzian. What's your earliest musical memory, Willie?
Besides, like, my parents playing a lot of big band stuff in the house, because they both grew up in the 30s, 40s, and got married in the mid-50s, my first musical memory that's related to my journey is when we lived in Staten Island, moved over from Brooklyn, my mom needed some seamstress work done or something, and back then all the Italian-American families had, you know, their houses, and they had these finished basements. They would, like, finish off the basement with wood paneling and make it like another home, really. And this lady did a work down in the basement. I remember I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I went down the basement with my mom, and under the stairs there was a drum kit. And it was like I think it was like a Ringo kit, you know, that Oyster, Black Oyster, Ludwig, or something like that. And I just remember standing there staring at it and saying to myself, what the hell is that? But it was, I never, you know, it stuck in my mind.
How did you get there?
Well, it was the lady who owned the house. It was her son's.
Because I was thinking maybe she was a drummer lady herself?
I doubt it, because she's from the old country.
Yeah. So it was her son. But he had, I guess, they'd been stowed away.
No, they were set up. You know, the cymbals and the hi-hat, everything was there. And I just remember standing there for a few minutes going, wow.
So
and
it was an actor said he used to play this thing. Okay. So he, like, doubled up this little finished room as the practice pad.
Yeah, and there was a couch and a TV down there. And the lady had her sewing area where she, I don't know what my mom, maybe my mom had her sew some stuff for her, you know.
Sure.
And so
you remember seeing that drum set, but you didn't jump on it.
No, because I didn't really know what it was. And then...
How old were you, Willie?
I think I was between 5 and 6 years old.
Okay. Like kindergarten, first grade.
Yeah, you're talking like 1965, 66, something like that. And then, today they diagnose kids with ADHA and all this. Well, I would have been diagnosed with that because I was like the hyperactive kid, and I had an older brother who tormented me on a daily basis, and I was like, you know, all hyper and temper tantrums and stuff. So I think in my subconscious back then, I needed an outlet. And
therapeutic.
Yeah, and the way that came about was we had a regular babysitter when my parents would go out, right? And she was this old Irish lady that used to smack us around, and as they allowed them to back then. But then she retired, and we got this Italian-American girl who must have been in her late teens. And it was a Sunday night. My parents went out. It was around September. It was when school just started. I think I was in the first or second grade. And she said, and we usually would go to bed, like the young, there's five of us, so the three youngest ones, me and the two next youngest, would go to bed at about 7:30. But she said, you want to stay up and watch the Smothers Brothers with me? And we all said, yeah. And on that night, she said, oh, there's this band. I don't know what a band was. You know, there's a band on, you got to see them. And it was a Who. And I remember watching Keith Moon smash his drum kit and blow it up. And I thought, that's what I want to do. Not blow him up, but I saw him play, too, and he was going crazy. And I said, that's what I need. I need
I think he hurt
like
the hearing in one of Pete Townsend's ears with that, because he, like, put more charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a backstory to that thing. It was first seeing this drum set, not even knowing it was a drum set, and then seeing this guy to go to town on television in a band, which you didn't even know what a band was. So a lot of this was like primal feeling.
Exactly. Even though both my parents used to, before they were married, they were both musicians. Oh, not professional, but they both, my mom was a pianist and my dad was a sax player.
Okay.
But they both abandoned their musical endeavors when they got married.
Sure. So when you see Keith Moon, do you ask for a drum set?
Oh, man, relentless. So what happened was, that was September 67. I just turned 7. And my father went out and bought me this plastic snare drum. It was completely plastic, and it was crap. And then I was really unpleased. So I think around Thanksgiving,
snare drum. Usually the heads are plastic, but...
No, the whole thing was plastic. It was a piece of crap. And these crappy sticks. And I was just like, what am I supposed to do with this? And then
did it have a snare wire? Did it have plastic snare wire?
Yes, it did. I wish I still had it, you know. And then my grandfather, my father's father, they were over. Yeah. I think it was Thanksgiving. And they didn't like each other, my dad and my grandfather. So he was always undermining my dad. Like my brother said, I want a mini bike. And my brother's 4 years older, and he's like, over my dead body, my dad would say. And my grandfather went out and bought him one. You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, drum kit, drum set. And he didn't acknowledge it, but come Christmas, he would come over with my grandparents in the afternoon, Christmas Day, with loads of presents and big bags, you know, and put them under the tree, and he would play Santa Claus and hand them out to everyone, like, and we'd all get 3 or 4 presents. And I didn't get anything. And I remember at the end, there was these huge boxes sitting there. And I said, who are those for? And he said, they're for you. And it was a drum kit.
Oh, wow.
And my dad hit the ceiling. So that was that. And I joined, just before that, when I got the snare drum, I joined at our Catholic grammar school, we had a drum and bugle corps, which was like a marching band.
Yeah.
So I started learning the rudiments for a few months.
Okay.
And I learned how to read, like, not pitch notation, but I learned how to read drum notation, and knew what every note, you know, quarter note, half note, all that. And then I got the drum kit, and I started bugging them for lessons. So they took me down. There's a music shop called Rustic Music Center in Newdorp in Staten Island, about 3 or 4 miles from where we lived. And my mom took me in there. We asked the guy who owned the place, do you have lessons? And he said, yeah. So I signed up, and I went back the next week. I took the bus. I was like 8. You used to be able to take the bus when you're 8 years old back then or whatever. And I was sitting there waiting with a pair of sticks, and this is like the stairway in the back that goes up to the next level where there's little rooms where they give lessons, guitar lessons, drum lessons. And this dude comes down the steps, right? He's quite tall. He's got white big flares on, beetle boots, the polyester hippie shirt, a big medallion, and this big fro, like white guy fro, you know, and the purple tinted round John Lennon glasses and the big sideburn chops. And he says, hey, my name's Phil. I'm your teacher. I'm like, oh, man, this guy, holy shit. I thought he was like, you know, rock star. I went, wow, cool. So he takes me in this little room, this two little four-piece kit set up side by side. And then for the first couple of weeks, he taught me how to read drum chart where each line was a different, you know, instrument of the drum kit.
Sure.
And taught me basic beats. And then he whipped out this, like, you know those phonographs that you could plug headphones into? It was just a record player with a little speaker in it.
Sure.
So he took out one of them. And he had a double jack. I remember seeing that. I go, whoa, because my brother had one with a single jack, you know, at home. So I was like, oh, wow. So we put on headphones, and the first song he taught me how to play was Creedence, Proud Mary.
Whoa, and Doug Clifford.
And I fell in love with Creedence. And then I remember we used to go to JCPenney, the great record department back then, and you know, albums were like $1, $1.50, and I'd save up for my paper route and buy records all the time.
What's the first record you bought, Willie?
The first record I bought with my own money was the first Creedence album.
Okay, and it's called Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah. I bought Cosmos and the rest of the, and I just like, and in school, like the guys in school who were a bit older than me who played instruments, they liked Hendrix, you know, this is like 68, 69, they liked the Stones, the Who, Hendrix, and I, and they used to make fun of me for liking Creedence.
Well, fuck them. Let's listen to fucking Tie Your Lungs.
on his own head, sobbing, couldn't breathe. He had a dream that Mouth died because he had to eat. We'll be right back. Shakespeare in the colonial schools. And the English teachers like their drug mules.
Yeah. wants me to laugh.
Watt for Pedro show. We just started that off with Wybot. That's Willie on drums there. Tie Your Lungs. And then we heard Pyle. They're from like the west side of England. What's it called? Devon or something. Hidden Forces Trio with Tender Fisting. No, yeah, Steve's Mouth. That's the name of the song. And then this title is Tender Fisting Blues by Hidden Forces Trio out of Sevilla, Spain. Then M.B. Jones at Busan, Korea, No Great Game. Franix with Car. Gareth Sager with Apparently. Just had him as a guest. Incredible cat from the pop group with his new 88 Tune Dreams album. And finally, Hidden Rifles out of Cleveland. Well, the Proj bosses, a lot of New York guys, but bass came from Pedro. Because I'm the one who brought it. Back to Willie Tarzan and his journey through music. So you're taking lessons with Ron Ashton used to wear. If you look on Funhouse, he's wearing white pants.
Like that, yeah.
Okay, so you got this Creedon record. Are you playing the records that you're buying?
Oh, yeah. And my brother, luckily I had a brother 4 years older who already had a collection. And I had a cousin, my dad's niece, who was only like 10 years younger than my dad. She was already in her 20s. And she was friends with the artist, the 60s artist, Peter Max. And he started a magazine. She was a writer. And he made her editor-in-chief. But she also assigned herself as the music critic. So she'd go to all the big shows at the Garden and everywhere and get handed albums all the time. So her spillover of albums, because she'd get doubles, she'd leave at our house. So we had, from a young age, there was rock music in our house all the time. And back at school, kids are listening to, like, Mickey Mouse and stuff. I'm bringing, like, Blood Rock in when I'm 8 years old.
I remember Blood Rock.
And stuff like that, you know. And so I was exposed at a very young age to cool music. So I was learning all through the teenage years. You know, by the time I was 14, I was learning, you know, Close to the Edge by Yes on my headphones down the basement.
Alan White?
Or Bruford. I prefer Bruford because when he went to King Crimson, that was like my favorite lineup of King
Crimson. But I don't like the snare drums though.
But he is a great drummer.
I mean, it's incredible. It sounds like a Hungry Seal.
Georgie's got that sound on.
The Hungry Seal, yeah. Tune it up tight and hit it hard. Look, I'm more about the T-Rex, you know.
Yeah.
That slider, that fat snare. Raul can do it. When do you start playing with people, like in a band, like some kids at school or after school?
Yeah, so I'm in fifth grade, and family friend's son, who's 2 years ahead of me, Tom Hartman, comes to me, and he played guitar, and he said, me and Richie, this other guy, we want to be in the school talent show, because every year they had the talent show, and it was like 1,000 people there, because it was the whole school, to like 8 grades of 2 classes, and all the parents, and you know, so it was packed, big auditorium. So they said, we want to play the talent show, and we wrote a song, but you're supposed to be in the same class, not only the same grade. And so they went to the principal, because there weren't many drummers anywhere back then, even outside the school. There weren't many drummers in, like, 1969 or whatever. So they went and asked the principal, and she said, yeah, he could play with you guys. So we came in third, but it was amazing. When the curtain opened, I just remember, like, this feeling of wind, like the wind was blowing in my face. There was so many people there for a kid to be playing in front of. So we played our 3-minute instrumental. And then the next year, he got expelled, my friend Tom. And the next year, we did the same thing, but this guy Richie put 2 other guys in the band, and we did an instrument. They didn't want to sing because the guys in the really tough guys in that class would have, like, beat them up if it were out of their mouths. You know, because it would have just made fun of them so much to try to sing. But
what
that was
place,
the first
what
time.
Place?
Sorry?
The second time, what place did you come in?
We came in second.
Okay.
That year. Out of the top 3. So.
Now, these bands never had names, right? They were just put together for the talent show.
Yeah, we didn't have a name. We didn't have names, no. No.
What's the first band that you are in that has a name and start doing gigs?
There's a band, I can't remember the first name of the band, but I was in, back then in Staten Island, bands would be covers bands, but they were more like copy bands. So you would pick your two or three bands that you wanted to emulate, and they would concentrate on that. So the first one I was in, it was BTO.
Yeah, I remember them. I saw
Buckminster Overdrive.
Yeah, he was from the Guess Who.
I can't remember who, you know, what other bands. And I don't even remember the name of that one. But the next one was called Adrenaline Rush.
Well, I remember them. Their big songs were like Let It Ride and Taking Care of Business.
Oh, BTO, yeah.
Actually, yeah. There was a song on the first album I really liked. It was called Give Me Your Money, Please.
Yeah, that was good.
That's such a great fucking tune. And also, they're three brothers, Randy Bachman, two of his brothers, kind of big guys, and then a bass man named Fred Turner.
Fred Turner was awesome. I thought
Pile Driver. He had his own tune called Pile Drivers.
He was underrated like Stu Cook, you know, similar.
I'm into BTO. The D Boom was way in him. They had an album called Not Fragile.
That was my favorite.
Okay. So you're in a BTO band.
Yeah, then over the next, I'd say from freshman year of high school till senior year of high school, I was in two or three or four different covers bands. And the last one I was in was called Pyramid. And Pyramid. And then we lost our singer or something. He left. And we went in the Village Voice, and there was an ad for in like time for. And
you're cutting out, Willie. Voice.
Yeah, so we went up to that. They had the Village Voice. We lost a singer. We went and auditioned for this producer, Joe Sear, and the singer's name was John King, J-O-N King. And turns out John King, he's the guy with Chung King House of Metal. In later years, he started Chung King House of Metal, which is the recording studio in New York where Public Enemy and all the rap artists recorded in the 90s. So he's quite big time in the recording industry now. But back then he was a singer and he had these poppy kind of punk tunes. And he picked me. He didn't want the other two guys. And we started a band and we started playing and we did a single and we did small tours and became quite popular. Because back then in New York, like in 1978-79, the scene was so robust that even the local bands can do well, you know. You didn't have to be national. You didn't have
to be... Yeah, like somebody, I remember reading Cream Magazine, The Good Rats.
Yeah, The Good Rats were from Long Island, but they were original band, but they were kind of like the equivalent of a British pub band, you know, like that good guy, good times kind of rock and roll crap that I didn't like. So, sorry.
I never knew what they sounded like. I just remember them writing about them. And they weren't a big national band.
They're good rats.
You didn't see stuff like that.
On YouTube.
Yes, but nah, just that. Keep it in the old days.
That was the Long Island crowd.
I'll keep it mysterious. But I remember I would hear about a band that wasn't a huge band. And that didn't really go on because there was no zines, really. Cream was the closest thing you could call a zine. So, you're playing with Chung King, then what happens?
Right, so I played with him for about a year. And then I became friends with a guy through my friend, you met my friend Danny.
Yeah.
His cousin was in a band called The System. And a friend of theirs named Richard McLean ran a rehearsal recording studio called The Planet. On 31st Street near Madison Square Garden. So I started going hanging out with him, and then bands there started kind of hiring me to do sessions and stuff. And through that connection with Danny's cousin, I met John, a guy named John Naples, who was in the band The System, and he wanted to break away from The System and start his own thing. So me, him, and Richard McLean started a band called Pressure Point in 1980. John had about 7 or 8 songs that we put together, and then Richard left the band, and an old friend of mine named Stu Ritchie from Staten Island, who was a guitarist, wound up playing bass because we couldn't find the right bass player. And I said to him, you know John already, and you're kind of friends, buy a freaking bass and come and jam with us, and he did. So that was my first adventures in collaborating creatively, yeah. That was the first time I ever was part of a songwriting, you know, putting songs together, arranging them. I wrote some lyrics, I sang a bit, and we did well. We played with Bush Tetras, and we played with Gang of Four once. It was about 2 years we did that. We did a single. It was a big deal to do an album back then. You guys did it somehow a few years later.
SST, right?
Yeah.
Look, we've gotten to the end of the first hour of the November 29, 2017 edition of Watford Pedro Show. Guest Willie Tarzan, hold tight for hour two. November 29th, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Forbidden, catching pigeons, running the dark villains, but the fish is a mirage. When you look back, it was time to get them to drink, and you didn't ever try. The many parts you did in the past, you can't get them. Overthinking, out of all sinking, Roman kingdoms are down in flames. Global shifting, going the whole distance, no positions are bound to change. No one knows if it's shit's about to change, or if it's when the land are bound to blame. No witnesses left to count and claim. Look for the clue, but I never found a ring. Waiting to lose your patience. Do you feel confused? You're hallucinating. Ever left rooms that are fumigating? But you don't know why they're illuminating. True explanation of your evacuation. You just had to leave and abandon the scene. New destinations, using the savings. Brand new scenes, but it had to be. Check it out. Punching the clock. Couple up and down. Punching up. Nobody got. Suffering off. Are you in the chopping block? It's the double bluff. That's why the fuck is the bluff. Under the crush, you know what the trouble is? You're on the list, the rubbish for the rubbish bits. Discovering what fish bones and wishbones, but the kids know they ain't found the rubbish bin. Standing in an old stone, waiting for the right time. Planning when you go home, all the things you might find. Looking for the holy. Hold the belt, hold in the tail, it's totally unreal. Holding onto the hope for what the cloak revealed. Your only help is a ghost in a shell. Told you a hold, the fuck I'm cold. So close to your fault, no one else. Over and over, the shadows fall. Until you know it's cold, a thought you yourself. Look for the holy grail. Hold the belt, hold in the tail, it's totally unreal. Holding onto the hope for what the cloak reveals. Your only help is a ghost in a shell. Told you a hold, the fuck I'm cold. So close to your fault, no one else. Over and over, the shadows fall. Until you know it's cold.
Watch for Pedro show. Start the second hour off with Wybot doing Limbo Loop. Then Everyone Is Dirty, Lost Thing. We're going to get to play with them in January in Long Beach. They're from the city. And then in 3 weeks from today, I'm going to be in the city celebrating 6-0. There's more of that crunching sound. And then Hillside of Love, Maya, The Revolutionary Hell Yeah. Alexander DeLarge, Going Blind. He's in Sicily. Arabia Saudata, Arabica. No, Arabica Paulista by Arabia Saudade. Sorry, that's Super Freak there. Milano, Giuseppe. And then out of Bari is Centauri with Tucson. Finally, Mold Omen out of Baltimore with Invading, Folding. Back to the musical journey of Willie Tarzan. So, we're going to go for the uncrunchable version here. After a couple years of pressure point, what do?
I kind of waffled around. In that time, I discovered Minutemen. And I'll kind of backtrack to that, I guess, so I could stop and I could interrupt the journey to explain my Minutemen experience, because it has had a big bearing on how I went forward from there, from the influence of you guys. But because I used to go to Bleecker Bob's and other record stores like weekly, and when you walk into Bleecker Bob's, there's this bin right in the front.
Yep.
It says new releases. And I remember, I think it was 80 or 79, 80, and I saw a Black Flag. I was like, what the hell is this? You know, so I bought it.
Nervous Breakdown.
That's right. And I used to listen to a lot of the college stations, and the WNYU had the new afternoon show. And I remember them. I bought Black Flag, and I liked it. And I liked them even more because they used to do like a hourly update of music news. And they said, Adam and the Ants were at the such and such venue in L.A., and Black Flag and their fans were outside, and they were holding a big sign that said, Black Flag kills ants on contact.
Well, they're actually bumper stickers.
Oh, they were okay. Well, I don't remember what they were, but I was so impressed by that. I said, this is...
The backstory on that, Darby went to England, came back, said the next big punk band. He was dressed like he had a mohawk and stuff, and he said Adam Ant was going to be the next big band, so everybody kind of had fun with that when we finally saw what that band was like. So that was the thing about that. So what about Minutemen?
Right, so I would go in every week, and I knew a couple of the guys that worked there. You know, they just knew me from being a customer a lot and coming in. And I gave them my number. I was telling them, tell me when there's new stuff, you know. But I'd go in anyway. And one day I walked in, and I saw this 10-inch sitting there right in the front, and it said, Paranoid Time, Minutemen. I wasn't sure whether the band was called Paranoid Time or the song, the album, the record was called Minutemen. So I bought it. It was like, I think it was $2 or something. And I took it home, and I bought a bunch of other stuff. And I listened to that last, that when I sat down to listen to everything. And I listened to it like 8 times. And I was like, this is punk. I mean, this and Black Flag, because when you in New York in the scene back then, we didn't use the word punk for like Voidoids and Television and Ramones. They were just those. They were Television and the Ramones and the Voidoids and the New York Dolls. They weren't in a category. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then we heard about punk with the Sex Pistols, and that died a death. And so when I heard that, I said, "This is punk." And when I heard Black Flag did that stuff to Adam and the Ants, I said, "That's punk." And so I fell in love with Minutemen, and then they'd call me and say, oh, we got another Minutemen. There's one called Joy, and then there's one called Bean Spill, and then Punchline. And I just kept buying them. And then in 83, at that time, I was in a couple of bands, kind of. I kind of lost my heart. I was disheartened after Pressure Point broke up, because I thought I'd be in it forever. And me and Stu really loved the band, and the main guy, He moved to L.A., actually. He just up and left one night when we were about to get a record deal and all this stuff. But anyway, I went to Folk City in, I think it was March of 83. You played there.
Folk City West.
That's right.
Let's hear Don't Lose Your Mind. Why, bot?
Can I get richer? And I see people are pissed off. And I see them lingering in the queue. All saying in their heads, fuck you. And they're groaning and kissing the teeth. They rather do a piss on a tree. And I think that I wanna disagree. Cause all I see is pure misery. And they don't wanna be in the system. So confused, and they feel like it's just pointless. What's the difference? It's just push and move. And they know that their bread took a storm. And they have to fit into a tube. And they have to be treated like a piece of shit. This leaves them with. They're a different kind of secret cult that I'm not part of. They're a different kind of secret cult that I'm not part of. They're a different kind of secret cult that I'm not part of. Where do I sign up? Where do I put my name? Why you find that look of shame? You gonna put me in chains? Are you gonna be freely contained? Are you gonna be all twisted and tied? Are you gonna be sinking along with the slide? Vanish rapidly. This is why we feel we can't speak passionately. Cause if we do, we'll be seen as a bad disease. This is why. This is why. This is why. We're so polite. Protons, got a hope they weren't attracted. It's a kind of fusion. If we blast it, it's worse than any type of pollution. Deadly science designed by the humans, and they don't see where it's going to. And it makes you feel like you need to be shown the proof to know where it's at. Otherwise, you get thrown back to the past. That book's badly burnt, but we haven't learned. Let's join the earth like a bag of worms. Don't matter yet. Side to side. So the mind still breaks from the creative place to mayhem. You see the games that they're playing and the places they're taking. They're acting like angels. It's blatant because they're actually Satan. Don't lose your mind.
the footprints of the giants. I have passed my judgment.
Is out of order. The most you can hope for is about three quarters. The whole is always missing something. The best player, the best mover, or the one who can actually sing. It's no way to treat a legacy, to get bogged down in legality. But on the road to becoming legendary, there may be a few fatalities. Legend boy, at least you'll never see your friends turning into enemies. They'll write books about, they'll make films about faces of ghosts on the magazine racks. They'll write books about, they'll make films about See them in the supermarket. See them staring back. Is out of order. The surviving fragments are being kept by hoarders. The whole is always missing something. Some rarity, some scarcity, some unresolved longing. Send for the jigsaw police to help to find the missing piece. Each collection is incomplete. They'll always lack that final release. Here's a place I never thought I'd see. It's called the Memorabilia Factory. They'll write books about, they'll make films about faces of ghosts on the magazine racks. They'll write books about, they'll make films about. See them in the supermarket, see them staring. They'll sing songs about, they'll sing songs about, go on and on about,
go on and on about.
I see your face on the magazine racks. They'll sing songs about,
they'll sing songs.
Go on and on and on about,
go on and on about.
I see you in the supermarket, I see you staring back.
Wybot, Don't Lose Your Mind, then Guided by Voices after that with Circus Day Holdout, Moon Rocks from Spirit Valley, then Here Lies Man with So Far Away, Disorder with Disorder, and Kevin Hewitt with Out of Order. Okay, so you're bummed out on music, man, but then maybe you want to play.
What's that?
You hearing these records from SoCal? Even though you're bummed out because of the pressure point failure, you want to start playing again.
Well, I was playing. I was in a band called the Wuffles, which is kind of a crappy band. And the main guy in the band, his dad was Boss Hogg on Dukes of Hazzard. So I played with a guy I grew up with in a thrash metal band called School of Violence. This guy, Steg von Heinz. And I was in a thing called Walkie Talkies with these two guys that I knew from Staten Island who at the time were kind of very innovative with technology. And I had a Lindrum that I bought with my student loan money, and I used to rent it out to studios for like $50 an hour. And that's how I lived for a while. I used to rent it like, you know, 10 to 20 hours a week, and I was cleaning up, you know. And they rented it, and then they asked me if I wanted to work with them. And then, so I was in like, over the 3 year period, I was in like three or four bands, you know.
You got into plumbing too, right?
Sorry?
You got into plumbing.
That was when I came to England.
Okay.
That was much later. But anyway, then I met you guys. I said hello to Georgie and D. Boone at that Folk City gig, and then we went to see you at City Gardens, and then
Trenton.
I think the next year you at Maxwell's and the Ritz.
Old Boken.
Yep, and then the Ritz with Pierre
Ubu. Ritz now is called Webster Hall, I think.
That's right. And then I at every gig I said hello to D. Boone. So, but then you played Irving Plaza in '85 in the autumn. And I have a friend who was doing sound that night.
Co-conspirator tour.
That's right. And I came early and watched your sound check. And then I went to take a piss in the bathroom, and I'm pissing. And then D-Boom walks in and pissed next to me. And hey, I remember you do. Yeah, hey, dude. And as a joke, I said, won't you guys come and crash at my pad tonight? And he's like, all right. and you did.
Yep.
And then I remember that night your stuff got ripped, your clothes got ripped off out of your van.
Georgie's.
Well, I think yours too, because you were doing the Fidel thing at the time. I remember you guys, we were driving in the van. I remember you guys were really amazed at the Hasidic Jews, you know. There were so many of them on the street. You're like, holy shit, this is like the promised land. Then we went to the music store, and then you said, I need to buy fatigues, man. Where can we go? So we went to Canal Jean, and you were like, is it a Kano? I'm like, yeah. And you bought all the stuff. And then I came to your Hoboken gig that night. And after that, you guys went off to finish the tour up in New England. And D. Boone would call me. He called me a few times on that tour. One time you were coming back from, I think, Hartford. And yeah, you had to pass through New York on the way to D.C. or something. And he called and said, can we stay with you? We're freezing our balls off. And I missed the call. It was on my answering machine. So... But anyway, we started, then you did the REM tour, and he would call me at, like, every couple weeks.
That's
hello.
The last tour.
Yeah, and we became kind of friends. And then he said, listen, when we finish this tour and after Christmas, like after New Year's, come out to Pedro for a week and hang out. And you know what? We all know what happened, and that never happened. But it was him I was friends with first, and Georgie. And then I didn't get to know you till a few months after he passed away. I called you. I got your number from Georgie, and you were really down. You were saying, some dude's hanging around my place trying to start a band with me. And it was Ed. And
we came out from Ohio. Willie, we're at the end of the second hour.
Yeah,
November 29, 2017, Dish Wife for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour three. November 29, 2017, it's the third hour of the Wife for Pedro show.
Surrounded by the animal, I'm never gonna lose. Never let slip when I'm definitely in the mood. Ready for the truth, but I'm ready for the proof. Looking for the roots, fitting your boots. Shit flip, they ain't gotta see it, gonna do. Pissed off like a little pigeon in the blue. And I'm gonna tour when I'm picking it wood. Got the war gun for the hard one. Get a backtrack for a little whack yawning. Backstoring in and about those wigs. Tax for a cat flap for the fire morning. Brainstorming, but you're knocking and diving. We're fired in the fucking diving. The rise is wide and the fire's in the time. Like a fool's light in the light in your mind. Finally a pint, get a bite down with some wine by the side. No the pop, no man, turn it on occasion. Looking for the lust of, what a frustration. Blurring for the pop, won't stop on the nation. Visible of dollars at the bottom of a basin. Tolerant of ancients, not a matrix. Come on, let me trouble this. Wake up, boy. Wake up, boy. It's time to face it, ain't no time to play with your toys. Ah, oh, where'd you going? Lost the blood scoring. Some more humans. The immortal, get the details, set up the contract. And we're going beyond that, we're measuring the same when they get into contact. Ready for the combat, kick on with the drop pad, steady up our arms back.
started with nothing. Jumping a microphone, end of discussion. Ain't giving us a wish, it's the end of a bridge and prepared to exist. In the stone with a hammer, bladder exploding when you're holding a dagger. See it on the wall, street voice, police voice. They're retreating other people when they bleed for their joy. Look up in the keyhole, look up in the keyhole, look up in the keyhole, look up in the keyhole. Scene's cold, looking through the keyhole, but the scenes are lethal. And it's for electrical. But they're rushing, cause they must win, cause they're buzzing, cause they're beating. When they kick in, cause they crush them, when the doctors even weaken. And they're beating, going deep in, when it's freezing, and they're cold in the dangerous season. Never bold, you don't know when you're better. Funny how you grow when you're thrown under pressure. Open the center, go through the center. Stumbling in the cold and the motion detector. Get out with the fence of a sense of venture. Different than the ghost, it's cold when we enter. Full effort like an exercise, left side, mesmerized. Head up in the clouds, cause we're energized. Step back here and extra. What I do when I'm moving. Boom, you're getting pulled, room to a boom. Who do you think you are? Let alone that it is in charge. Back with Steve. What's it gonna be? Who's the boy? What do you want from me? Who's it for? Dracula, they're coming back for y'all, and they're slapping y'all, and attacking hard. You can smash the bar, the vernacular, like a massacre, as a scatter bar. All the patterns that we got, that's a pack of cards. We got the appetite, snack inside. We're standing by, in the path of life. Got an axe to grind, when the practice time. Getting activated, when the lab at night. If you can't survive, getting neutralized. When you're bitten, get the high, getting crucified. Got a spot, sing a time, a move to spine. Got a boot, even though it's suicide. Choose your side, they're gonna shoot the skies. With new tools, but they've got a route to climb. Moving the inner, in the room to hide. Choose them when the monster food is last. Who knew what it came to true was last? Use food for it to confuse the ass. Hope set it loose, get humanized. This side, get the will alone. Never let it move, cause I'm ready to come through when they don't. This side, start it all loose. Never do a joke, so I'm ready to recruit from a swoop. This side, never know the loop. The pack of a move, try to teach you to the truth. This side, get the will alone. Never let it move, cause I'm ready to come through when they don't. Bang the drums, keep solid, carry on. Fast forward, and rewind. Leap line, in from the behind. Time, mean rats, deep time, big time, swing white, peace time, keep trying, freestyle and beat time, free time is free mind. Flow with a quick rhythm, it's chilling, shifting decisions, pace that we live in, the weight of it goes so fast, but it's over fast, and your only chance, and when no one starts, be your focus starts, I fucking know what it's over star. Show you the graph from the picture that we brought, slick up with a tongue, fishing with a drum, hit it to the start, but we're with the cost, I'm a situation made that I'm difficult to face, running out of land, such a burrow cabin, but certain that will happen, I'm further than the magic, so the metal part, never watch, it's simmer, surface in the spark, getting started with a slipper, such a liver trust, it's a fast, it was so fast, no chance, give it the phone, forget it, forgot, with the S-Bow, we ain't gone, but we stick up, was it proper clouds, shown in the picture, cold in the dark, if you're holding a trigger, blown off, like explosive blast, no, in the charge, those that would deliver, jump on full spark, like a broken mirror, full of the dark, like ghosts out of the park, past memories, the road, the last guard, run, in the sun, that close, that track, in the dark, for the constantly run, from the hunk, and the cunt, and the cunt, when the guns, when it's run, run, in the sun, that close, that track, in the dark, for the constantly run, from the hunk, and the cunt, and the cunt, when the guns, when it's run.
Thank you. understand. I understand. You know, but let's not even go there. Let's not even go there right now. We're talking money and a guitar. Guitar.
Thank you. tell you that my love is real. Hanging out in your apartment, that's how the whole thing started. Don't you know I'm dying for you? Can I just be your boyfriend? Take you where you want to go. Teach me everything you know.
From Pedro Show, start third hour off with Keyhole from Y-Bot, that's Salty with Damaged Glands, Danny Barnes with Love is a Tumbling Down, David Gerard on Light Fantastic, Flying Hair with Spiders, Nano Face If They Never Come, We Get High Together from No Ice, and finally, Murnau B with Jack Dulio's. Back with Willie Tarzian and his journey through music. Now, this proj here, we've been playing a lot on this edition, Y-Bot. This is a band you've had together a little more than a year now, right?
No, it's almost two and a half years.
Wow, almost two and a half. But actually, I played with you in England with a band before this called Man Flu. I played a lot on the show.
That's right.
This whole thing about moving from New York City area to England, to London.
Yeah.
Bring it.
All right, well, let's see. At the end, I was with a band called Freak Parade that became 67 Riot, two dudes from Detroit, Pete Sudas and Gerald Collins. We played with you guys on April 22nd, 88 at Firehose at CB's, blah, blah, blah. And then I met a woman who's visiting my sister, and we fell in love and planned on moving here and getting married. And then you asked me to play with you. And I couldn't do it, and I was really bummed. And I came here. I joined a band called Artichoke for 2 years, and then I didn't really play in a band for about 4 or 5 years. I was jamming with people. And then when the marriage split up, I met this band called Disco Boy with a K, and it was Dudu, Pip, and Marie, and this guy Phil, whose band it was. And we wound up kicking him out and starting Man Flu in 2008. And then Marie left about a year later, and then we got Azza and Saki to replace her, because Marie played keyboard and sang, so we got two girls to replace her. And that was about 4.5 years of Man Flu, and we did well, and we did well in the UK. You know, we were kind of respected as being very different, and we had a hot chick out front, and you know, that kind of thing. And you know, I got you to play Lex because we're friends, and we're very friendly with Maddie, the promoter there, and I think we played 2 or 3 times with you. Twice with Il Sogno and once with Raul and Tom.
Missing Man.
And yeah. And then, yes, right, the Missing Man. And then Y-Bot played our first gig ever with you 2 Octobers ago at that horrible O2 Academy.
Oh yeah, lame place. But people, you should understand that Man Flu and Y-Bot share 2 of the same guys.
Yeah, me and the bass player, Dudu, his name's Sebastian, but I think the nickname in France for Sebastian is Dudu. And we knew Toby through Marie, our first singer in Man Flu, and we collaborated with him back in 09, I think. We did a couple of raps with him. You know, we wrote the music and performed. He would come up on stage and do a song with us. And then, you know, and then he went his way. And then when Man Flu broke up, me and Dudu were trying to put bands together, and Toby called me and said, I'm trying to put my band back together. Do you want to play drums? And I said, I'm not really into those guys, those musicians. They're good, but it's not my thing, you know. And then me and Dudu were struggling to put a band together somehow. We thought it'd be easy. And then I just thought one day, hey, let's call Toby and jam with him. And we did. And that first jam session, it was like 14 jams, and I think 5 of them wound up on the album as songs.
Speaking of the album, the longest track is something called Medicine.
Yes.
What's that about?
You'll have to ask him.
So you guys are just separate. You and Dudu make the music, he makes the words.
Well, we all make the music because he plays a bit of synth and makes noise with effects and stuff. So
we'll jam
and record everything, and then I'll go back and listen. We all listen, but I usually ask them, you want to do this one? Okay, so I'll kind of tweak it a bit, and then we learn it, and then we tweak it. But oftentimes he'll freestyle, and then he'll go back and put words to the phrasing and the cadence and stuff like that. And sometimes he'll have words with him. Then he'll have his notepad, you know, his notebook full of stuff. He's got all these notebooks full of lyrics. He's always writing. So yeah, it's separate, but it's together in a way, too.
Okay, let's listen to Medicine.
prime intelligence. Benefits your mind like Chinese medicine. I flow precise and elegant. Sensitive to delicate science and writes are eloquent. Use poetic license, wired to rise and endless wit. Survived apprenticeship, cipher so adventurous. My freestyles make on with written, highly irrelevant. Transcend the vibes, defying petty prejudice. Revolution tensions are override malevolence. Find new elements for fighting the venomous. The triangles vying us with the lies of terrorists. The climate crevices, like spiderish predators. Provide no evidence, kids die for the sentences. Fallacies developed into real life vengeances. Why I mention this? We're always primed for revenge and twist. And pay the price for the recklessness. Topple the giant edifice. Enemies disguised to slightly get ahead of us. Get recognized for their efforts and erroneous. But their look of contempt will stop rebellious. Reactions to tactics that unsettle us. Educate us, transmitted to our retinas. Repetitive reality shows are now illegible. Duplicate textbooks will bring dead in seminars. Taking any charge, but it won't last forever, trust. So they keep stepping hard, trekking through the wettest marsh. Will the weather pass? Ready on offensive to threaten with bars. Come to weapons when I set them to task. Strong high court then, mind torture stops when you find a weak friendship. Not, you're not. Lamb chops, they had you tangled up, but now you stand so far.
Show last music for this edition. Why Bot with Medicine. After that, Senor Al with She's My Beautiful Angel. Team is Shit from Bronx. That's with three X's. They're out of Osaka. Ritual Cleanse from Kurt Stifel and the Swing Shift. Mailmen with Wasting My Time. And finally, the Breakfast Cowboy with Litter. Okay, so plans. When was this album done? New Blood, Fresh Blood, Young Blood, Old Tricks.
Yeah, we recorded it in August 2016 on the Lightship 91 or something. It's a ship across on the Thames, moored up across.
I know a Lightship. They got a big light. They're like a portable lighthouse.
Yeah. And they took a lightship, made a recording studio out of it. It's just across from the Millennium Dome, you know, the O2 Center. And we did the recording in 3 days, and then over the next few months, we mixed it. And it came out in May of this year.
Yeah.
So it took quite a while to do. And now we've got, I think, in addition to those 10 songs, we've got 14, 16 new ones, and we're deciding whether we're going to do an EP or do another album.
Sounds like you got an album worth. What about touring?
Yeah, well, we played two gigs this weekend and got a lot from them. In fact, Art Rocker last night is a Art Rocker magazine has a radio show. They're the cool underground music magazine over here, been around for years. And Resonance FM is the art station. It's like public funded. And the biggest show is Art Rocker. And he breaks all the new music, this guy Paul Cox.
Yeah.
And he heard about us from one of the other bands the other night. And he emailed me and asked me for the album. And he made us Album of the Week, and he played us last night. And from that, and from these two gigs we played last weekend, we've got quite a few gigs coming up. The next gig, which is already booked a few weeks ago, is with Naught, Blurt, and Cavalli at the New Cross Inn. Next Thursday.
You're talking about the old band Blurt with the sax man.
Yeah, that's him, Ted.
Ted Milton.
He's not a great friend of mine, but we're friendly.
And his brother used to be the drummer. He's a kind of an older gentleman.
He's 74 now, I think. And he's still he's awesome. We played with Manflu with them a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Naught is James, the guitarist. He plays with Thurston now. And they're amazing. They're the most amazing instrumental band I've ever seen in my life. and I've seen them like 10 times. So, and they play with Man Flu. So it's going to be a good gig, that one. And then we've got the Finsbury on the 27th of January. We're headlining that one. That's up in Manor House in North London. And then we haven't confirmed some other stuff, which is coming
well,
up.
Well, what about getting out of England? What about coming to the U.S.?
Well, funding, dude. You know,
okay. So no plans for that. What about the continent?
Yeah. Well, dude is working on a French thing, hopefully, for, like, springtime. Because he's got contacts over there.
Of course.
And we'll go from there. I mean, it's little by little, you know. We practice once a week. Those two dudes have kids.
Yeah.
We're all independently employed. And I think we get a lot done for a band that practices once a week or twice a week. But I'd like to do more. And I'm always, you know, I'm always cracking the whip about...
You're the whip cracker? You know,
finish these songs and the clams, yeah.
The whip cracker.
Yeah, whipping the clams.
Getting the chowder together.
Yeah, getting it chopped up.
Now, what about getting equipment around?
I have my big ex-Royal Mail van.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I always wondered about London bands. That must be tough.
Well, I'm a boiler man, sure. So I have to have the van, and I bought one that has seven seats. So
no, that's great.
We can get around.
What you're talking about. Look, if somebody is asking you for advice, because your journey is pretty righteous, what would you tell a younger person getting into this racket?
Just find your own feet with what you like and stick to it. And, you know, opportunity isn't as important as the music you make and that your heart's in it. And I gave up, you know, in my career when I was younger, I gave up opportunities to be in bigger bands, in quotations, you know, because of the music I was playing, that I would rather have played music that's unique to me and the people making it. And don't give up. Just don't listen to friends about, oh, this and that. Just do your thing, work hard, get out, meet bands, gig as much as you can, and stay true to yourself.
That's
in the whole
advice.
Journey.
That's great advice, Willie. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and good luck to you guys.
Thanks, dude.
This has been the November 29th, 2017 edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.